All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Isaiah Rivera. This is Austin Burke. Austin has a 47-inch vertical off 1 foot and a 44-inch vertical off 2 feet.
Depending on the day.
I have a world record, 50-plus-inch jump. So that's going to give you guys a little bit of context on why you should listen to us about jump training. Today, the superstar is going to be Austin Burke. We asked our Instagram viewers to let us know what questions they have for him. And yeah, he's going crazy. He has 2,000 views in 15 minutes, it looks like. About to hit 3,000 views.
Great.
So famous.
So should we cut it now?
No, I'll just delete it after this.
Okay.
We can let him come in, and then when we get tired, okay, we can stop.
All right.
Should we start from top or from the bottom?
You decide. Bottom.
Okay.
Bottom, definitely bottom.
All right, first question. Is your dad Michael Jordan?
There's a lot of conspiracies about who my father is. I'm open to all. I'm not sure it's him, but it's someone.
So Anthony Edwards could potentially be your brother.
Possibly.
All right. First, I guess serious question. How can you work around not being able to palm a ball?
You're gonna use this. What do I call it? It's just the cuff, basically. Just use the force of the ball. Or the force of
momentum.
Momentum. Thank you. Momentum.
Yeah.
I don't palm the ball ever. I'll cuff it. And a lot of times, if you see videos of me,
I don't palm the ball either. Athletes who ask this question, usually like a sign that they have not practiced dunking.
Out on low rims at all. Yeah, literally.
Because you spend an hour on a 7-foot rim, and you're gonna learn how to not need to palm the ball. So, get on a low rim, practice. You're gonna learn how to do it.
Yep.
All right. Momentum. Next one, how important is hip mobility for you?
For me, I just don't like to feel super tight, so I'm not a stickler for it.
I hate when you feel tight.
That's a first. Oh, no. All right. So basically, yeah, no, I have to do some sort of hip mobility, whether it's a couch stretch or just overall, you know, hip work. But I don't really focus or stress on it too much. It's just so I feel loose. I don't think it's really a distinguishing.
So you feel like the psychological effects,
yeah,
of feeling
looser
in your hips, yeah, helps you,
mm-hmm,
helps you
jump because higher. I'm not overthinking it. I feel faster. I like, yeah. I don't know.
That's something.
It's kind of like wearing a good pair of shoes, you know.
That's something I will say, like specifically like recovery modalities. If something makes you feel good, just from the psychological effects alone, it is worth doing. So like take icing, like an ice bath, for example. There's been no research to substantiate it, but if you personally enjoy it and you feel like you recover,
mm-hmm,
that's gonna help you at the end of the day. Something that hurts people, I think, is when there's too much stress from,
yeah,
trying to do too much. Like let's say stretching, for example.
So you don't get if your stretching you're
stressed
in for
out,
day.
Yeah, like if you're stressed out, you're missing your stretching, you feel like you're going to jump lower and all that stuff, probably going to have negative effects. But if you have a habit of it, it's part of your routine, it makes you feel good, it's probably worth doing.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's see. I'm going to skip these dumb ones. These are questions I answer every day. Best way to get your vert up.
THP.
Like if you're asking me that, you literally have not,
yeah, literally,
seen any of my videos. I was like at the gym yesterday. There was a guy who knew who I was.
Ooh.
And then he's like, oh yeah, I watch all your stuff, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what can I do to get rid of knee pain? And I was like, I know you don't watch my stuff.
Literally, someone said the same thing to me at the gym. He was like, hey, like I'm having problems with my Achilles too. Like, and I'm like we've like definitely discussed.
I literally just told him, I was like, just search up Isaiah Rivera knee pain and watch the videos. All right, what do your rest days look like and how often do you take a rest day?
Realistically, I take a rest day once a week. It's typically Sunday or Thursday. Most of the time it's Sunday. I just, I make sure I do my ISOs. I do some sort of movement. Like I don't stay super stagnant, you know. Maybe I'll take a walk or I'll do some sort of stretching. And the rest of the day, I pretty much act like a vegetable. I just play video games or work or watch a movie. I just try to stay off my feet and let myself recover, not just physically, but mentally.
What's your job, by the way?
I work at THB Strength.
What do you do?
I coach.
There we go. He's
Should I have led with that? Like a...
No, because I just realized people probably don't know. Like,
oh yeah. I'm also part of THP.
Yeah. He's a coach at THP. Yeah. So when you sign up, he's one of the three guys you get in a group chat with. It's me, Austin, and John. You can talk to us, literally ask us anything.
Yeah, I'm literally.
All right. Austin, you're a sexy man. You have any tips? Any tips on that? Things that you can control.
Hygiene.
There we go.
Make sure you take care of your hygiene. brush your teeth. Moisturize. Right, is that a good one?
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to try new things to feel good.
All right.
It's new hair, piercings, tattoos.
There we go.
Try things out. There's a haircut and a beard for everyone.
All right, we're getting some interesting ones.
Okay.
If you restarted your dunk journey, would you focus more on 1 foot or 2 foot? If you could restart, you're 12 years old again with the knowledge you have now.
2 foot. 100%. Because, like, my 2 foot, if you put me in a low rim, I'm pretty nasty.
Is it just because of tricks?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like for me personally, tricks click better mentally for me off 2 foot. 1 foot, it feels more natural, obviously, but I feel like if I practiced strictly 2 foot, I could be a freak.
Like, if you had spent this whole time going 2 foot?
Because, like, I've always wanted to jump really high off one. Because it does distinguish me at my height. A lot of people don't jump off one at my height.
Yeah.
However, unless you're Sutherland, most of the tricks are so difficult that it kind of makes my sessions feel very boring at times. Like, it's nice to throw a lob and jump as high as you can and just punch a dunk, but then you want to do a 360.
That's why the session yesterday felt so empty. It's like...
There was no... What?
Like, trick. There was, like, no trick dunks really made, like... Because that's one of the most dissatisfying sessions is when you're jumping really high and then your hands are horrible. It's like, it's so aggravating.
It's so frustrating. Like East Bay's, I don't know. It just, all of it.
They're so fun to watch though. Like I was looking back and like it was fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I didn't think it was as boring as it would have been. But
yeah.
I think it's also 2 foot's easier to increase than 1 foot. There's just way too many factors for 1 foot.
All right. Next one. After how long did you, basically how long did it take you to get to that vertical?
Since I was like 12. I mean, I've been practicing dunking. I lived in Virginia. There was a hill. My basketball hoop was at the top of the hill, and I sucked at shooting. So when I would brick a shot, it would go down the hill, and every time I'd have to sprint down the hill before I went into the woods. So I lowered the hoop, and I would just dunk on it, and that's kind of how I started. I couldn't throw lobs, which kind of explains today, right now. But probably then, and then I tried every single program known to man throughout high school, and so I've been training for a long time. Training with THP, it's been like 5 years, probably.
You literally have done every program.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Except new stuff, like new renditions. Like people ask me about PJF. I only know initial PJF. Like I don't know now PJF or anything like that.
It's actually wild how many options there are.
Mm-hmm.
Today, someone asked me on Instagram, they were like, I'm not going to name the programs, but they were like, which one do you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
Yours or this one or this one? And I told them, I was like, that's like asking McDonald's if Burger King is better.
Yeah, literally.
Like, why would I ever say?
I always try, when people ask me stuff like that, I try to be as unbiased as possible and try to find like the pros in different things. But it's kind of, literally, like we are the best. Like there is no direct like competition in terms of quality and results.
All right, when did you get your first dunk?
I was 15. I don't know if the rim was 10 foot though, now looking back and on all the things I knew. Because I never knew there was a difference in heights. I just thought it was a good or a bad jumping day. I got my first dunk when I was 15. I was able to dunk.
How tall were you?
I think I was like 5'7". But then that's another thing to beg the question of how high the hoop actually was.
Yeah.
So I would say, actually, let's just bump into 16, just to like, just get me in a gym.
When you were for sure, like,
in a basketball court. I would get in-game dunks, mainly off adrenaline. I was a big adrenaline guy. And I wasn't able to do a two-hander until college. I could do a one-hander and a windmill sometimes, just because my hands were good from low rims.
Yeah. All right. How does it come that you can jump higher off 1 foot? Did you just practice that way more?
That's just what came naturally. That's how I touched rim for the first time. It's just, when you're a kid and it's instinct. Someone's like, oh, touch the backboard. I just ran up off one and just kept doing it. Obviously, it does come from practice. Like, you can obviously get better at anything. Anatomically, some people are more predispositioned to jump off 1 or 2 foot. I do have long legs for my height. But yeah, that answered the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is your current weight?
I am 163. My best jumping, I'm around 158, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then what's your squat to body weight ratio?
Where's my max squat? I only do half squat, realistically.
It was 405, right? That's your best ever?
405. Well, I did 405 for two recently with you.
Okay.
But that was quarters?
Those were, they're like third squats. I would consider them half
okay,
squats.
Okay, so like 405-ish, 400 to 410, somewhere like 410.
Let's say, let's say 415, and then you're 163?
Yeah.
So so that's 2.55.
That's it.
Squat.
That's depressing.
No, that's crazy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I want it to be like six.
2.55. let's do mine. So let's say I'm 183. Yeah, that's like me squatting 466.
What is your ratio? That's actually a good question. Like yours is probably like
2.8. 183. My ratio is
2.73. Oh shit.
Yeah.
We're pretty close in terms of
relative strength. Let's say, how are you white with so much bounce?
Your skin color does not matter in terms of bounce at all. At all.
Yeah, your skin pigmentation.
Yeah, this is not.
Does not.
Does not
how yeah. you jump.
Yeah.
Can you strip on camera? You can say no.
No.
All right.
Yeah, no. I thought about it.
You thought about it?
If we did it on a live with like a setup where there's live donations, like, I think maybe.
Yeah. Imagine. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do ones that are like more specific to you instead of just general.
Yeah.
Ones. Can I still dunk if I'm skinny fat?
There's a lot of factors to that. How high are you jumping currently? I mean, yeah, you can. You just have to train right and get your body composition right.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny fat to me means you just don't work out.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or you don't have a good diet. You don't have your diet under control.
I assume skinny fat, though, when I assume skinny fat, just like out of shape, but like skinny, you eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
You just don't work out. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people I know are skinny fat.
Mm-hmm. How to improve your jump technique off one?
Practice. Just keep practicing. Make sure you relax into the plant. Don't overextend. I don't stomp. I tend to do both of those things.
Yeah. What do you tell yourself?
Relax.
Are there any cues?
Relax.
Just relax.
Yeah. John's actually been helping. I used to get mad at John because it made me overthink.
Yeah.
But yesterday in the session, for example, I was overextending on my plant really early and my hip was giving out. And I stopped doing the isos for my hip. I was having some hip issues. And he kind of told me to keep my chest upright and just do shorter plants.
Mm.
And even though it wasn't that much shorter, like when you look at it on video, it was enough that it didn't make my hip pop out.
Yeah.
Like, or not pop out, but you know.
Yeah, I like that. Have you ever tried to become a speed jumper?
I have, I actually am off my right foot if I want to be. Like, but I not off my left. It was the same issue I used to have with long jump too.
So this question's so common.
Mm.
They're asking how are you able to jump higher off one than two? I think a lot of you guys are confused about that. the science behind it is, he went into it a little bit, it's practice, right? So how much do you practice? If you practice more 1 foot than 2 foot, you'll probably, and after a long time, you'll probably end up jumping higher off one. And then your tendon properties also decide which plant you're gonna be able to benefit from more. So if you have extremely stiff tendons, those tendons are really hard to stretch. So you need stuff that is like really quick, a lot of speed on the approach, and that's gonna lend itself to 1 foot jump because you can sprint really fast, go on one leg, that's gonna be a ton of eccentric forces that is gonna be enough to stretch that tendon. So that's why guys with stiffer tendons lend themselves to jumping higher off 1 foot. And then even more so if you're a speed jumper versus a power jumper. So Austin's kind of like 2 foot and then 1 foot power jumping hybrid. So for him, it's like a lot of max strength where it kind of transfers over.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he has, for 1 footers, if you could like have like a gradient, he would be on the lower end towards like the more compliant side of tendons. But he probably has stiffer tendons than your typical 2 foot jumper who only jumps off of 2 feet. So that's kind of the science behind it. There isn't, a right question to which one has more potential. I will say 1 foot jumping is more dictated by genetics because it has lower ground contact time. So it's harder to improve. But if you have the genetics for it, it's worth obviously doing. I know anecdotally a lot of 1 foot guys though have transferred over to 2 foot. John's in the middle of that. Jordan Kilgannon started off as a 1 foot jumper. I think Lee Peck hit his first dunk ever off one. But 2 foot is just so much more easier to improve because it's more reliant on force, and strength training is the easiest way to do that.
I've been thinking about converting just to for tricks because my low rim is crazy. My low rim and jumping is like dunks are crazy.
And it's way easier to stay healthy for it.
Yes.
Easier to stay healthy.
There's so many like weird landings with 1 foot. It's awkward. And the people taking you out when you're playing games, which we made a pact. We're not playing games for a while.
By the way. We're done. We're done hooping.
We got murdered like 3 times.
Yeah, we were trying to play and we just kept getting hit out of the air. It was crazy. All right, this guy says, tell Austin my only goal in life is to jump higher than him. Also, he's hilarious.
Thank you. And I hope you do. I really hope you do.
And this guy just said, big dog Austin in all caps.
Bro.
we're almost to the end. What pushed you at that height to strive to be such a great jumper? That's a good question.
I was just obsessed with it. I thought it was so cool. Like, I just enjoyed it. And just I gravitated toward it. And obviously...
And you were naturally good at it too, right?
Yeah, I was naturally... I jumped more than most and better than most. But yeah, being around Isaiah too, I mean, this man is crazy. You work your ass off too. So it's kind of like... It just pushes me. I don't think anything I do is good enough. And it makes me train harder and keep going.
Yeah. How were you? I mean, you were training pretty hard though, even before we moved in together, right?
Yeah. I was training with John, I was his first initial athlete, and the training was way harder than I kind of was a test dummy. But my recovery was crap. I was in college and I was partying. I was out till 2, but then I had class at 8, so I'd wake up at like 5, 6, and go work out, shower at the gym, and then go to class every day, which, as we know, is terrible for recovery.
Yeah.
And I was still making progress, but I worked very hard, for sure. Because it was just a goal of mine. It's like, I always wanted to be like the person in the gym. I walk in and they're like, oh, he's the highest jumper here, which never happens anymore.
What has kept you motivated? It's obviously easy to fall off and quit and stuff like that. And I know you're privy to experiencing dunk depression. And you had like injuries and stuff, but what has allowed you to keep pushing?
I think the community, like having you and John as well. And just overall obsession. I think just accepting the fact that I loved it, even on the bad days, or just loving the process is what really made me keep going. I would say, it's also, I have this obsession with just maxing out my potential. And I've said this multiple times. I feel like I want to max out my potential like financially, creatively, intellectually, and athletically. And if I was to quit right now, I would never live it down. Like, I'm going to probably keep going until I can max it out or cap it out to the best of my ability.
There's a quote. I think it's, let me see if it's Aristotle. Aristotle working out
maybe
quote.
Aristotle's my father.
Oh, maybe it's not Aristotle. Is it Plato? It's either Aristotle.
What is the quote?
Plato. Socrates. All right. This is one of my favorite quotes ever. It is a disgrace to grow old through sheer carelessness before seeing what manner of man you may become by developing your bodily strength and beauty to their highest limit. He's basically saying...
Take care of yourself.
And then this is another variation of it. No man has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. That quote was friggin' fire. And I kind of live by that. It's like...
It's also discipline too. Like we always talk about discipline. I feel like you and I have very high levels of discipline.
Mm-hmm. This is something I used to talk about it a lot more. I haven't really as much recently, mainly because I don't live with my family anymore, so I'm not like in direct contact with that like every day like I used to be. But if you guys didn't know, my two siblings, my two younger siblings, are in wheelchairs, and that was something that I always. Like, if you have a body that's healthy and that, you know, you're able, like, it has the capacity to be able to train, like, there's people out there that would kill to have mm-hmm. that. Like, if my little brother's obsessed with dunking, my little brother would have definitely, like, freaking mm-hmm. trained and stuff like that, but he's not. Like, he's literally incapable of it. And I think, literally, how he says it, like, I think it really is a shame if people are able-bodied
and don't
max out their physical capabilities. And it doesn't have to be dunking, obviously. That's just, like, how I'm choosing to express it and how you're choosing mm-hmm. to express, I guess, like, human potential, human physical potential. But I think everybody, it's, like, such a, I don't know, it's, like, human nature to kind of push yourself to the yeah. to the physical limits. And, yeah, don't take it for granted. But I used to, like, literally every day, because obviously I would help my siblings mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think that's part of the reason I am so disciplined and stuff like that. Because it's like, even on bad days, when you're at your mm-hmm. absolute worst, it's like, still be grateful. You can move.
Yeah.
And think about, bro, imagine if, like, tomorrow, like, knock on wood, but you were to get into a car accident and you get paralyzed. Think about how, like, you would think back and be like, damn, like, on bad jumping days.
Yeah, like, I would love to just
jump right now. I would love to have a bad jumping
I would day. Love to touch the backboard. Yeah. I would love to play basketball, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, should always be grateful for that and just go absolute hardest in this short amount of time we have on this earth. What's the hardest dunk you've made / attempted, and what's your dream dunk?
All right, so the hardest dunk I've made is definitely the inverter. I'm the shortest person ever to hit that dunk, actually.
Inverter is East Bay off
the same foot you jump off of. So left foot and then the
root. Or it's a J-Rich.
It's a J-Rich to the same, yeah. So it's like, I've done that dunk a few times, two times, I think. But my dream dunk, it depends off one and two. I definitely have both. Off two, it's changed. I want to do a 360 under both.
Ooh.
Like really bad. 360 East Bay. Those two dunks off two. 1 foot, I want to get a clean punch free throw line, and then under both, and then I also want to do a double elbow.
Bro, at your height, 360 under both would be nuts. Well,
I was thinking about it with my form. It's like, I could, if I get my two, like, I'd have to practice. Like, remember before COVID, when I was getting close to 360 East Bay, I think mm-hmm. I'd have to just do 2 foot. I used to do 2 foot majority, and then I would do 1 foot here and there. I would do a couple jumps, like I'll do an East Bay or whatever.
No, yeah, it would be like just do 2 foot and mm-hmm. lower them a ton.
Yeah, and I think I could mm-hmm. just because my hands are really good. But yeah, those are my dream dunks. Yeah, I want a double elbow so bad. Shout out Sutherland. I think that is the most dominating dunk of all time.
Yeah,
just like, and I think it would look ridiculous with how high his feet look off the ground when he does it, and how high my feet would look. I was like, bro.
I just thought of something cool. Mm. We can keep this up, and then on the next one, I'll put the video, like the link to the video.
Okay.
For what? For this, the Q&A.
Oh, cool.
Do you have back issues?
I do not. A lot of people do think that I have back issues because of my mobility when I lift. People always mention my lower back.
Yeah.
But I don't have any issues at all. Yeah. What?
Why are you the most inconsistent dunker in the world?
Who said that?
David Cordy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've been trying to ask that. Some days, like Isaiah says, like I'm a freak.
I actually don't think you're the most inconsistent dunker in the world. I think
I am.
No, because you've been jumping really high the last few times. I think it's just you weren't at you weren't training super 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 hard.
Yeah.
I think when you're training, when it's like load management setup type stuff, like feel good lifting, I think jump days can become more consistent. But I think right now your like baseline has like mm-hmm. increased a lot.
I think it's and too injuries. Like you have to think like pre-COVID going off.
Yeah.
Then I sucked, and then I started getting good, and then I sucked.
Yeah.
And then I was good in 2022, and then I started sucking last year.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting better again.
I think now.
Yeah, it's injuries.
I think now that you know how to warm up your hip and mm-hmm. then the knee.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's, like, flared up, you can kind of warm up. But now that you know that, it's, like, that kind of takes the inconsistency out. Because I think a big reason you were inconsistent is, like, your hip gives out on jumps. And then you get in your head. And then
my hip,
but
my
now
knee hurts.
Now you know it's, like,
yesterday. Yeah. Your knee was bugging you.
I could barely dunk in my warm-up dunks.
And then we just regressed it back. Well, for those of you guys, just so you have background on what I'm talking about here, I have this thing. It's called Do Pain Guided Jump Sessions. And at THP, I have a guide that explains how to do it. Mm. But the cliff notes of it is basically don't up the intensity until you feel zero knee pain. And if you're feeling a 2 or a 3, you need to drop the intensity down, stay at that intensity, and then never jump up in intensity by more than like 10%. By intensity, I mean effort level. So let's say you feel like a 3 out of 10 when you do a 50% effort jump, drop it down to 40% effort to where you feel a 2, stay there until it's pain-free. And basically, when you're pain-free, that's your body giving you permission to try harder.
This works. Like, this works. This is, I've done it twice now on sessions that I didn't think I could dunk. And then I ended up jumping.
Because the knee pain was so
bad. I would warm up, my knee just flare up, and my hip gave out. And normally, I would have just cut it. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, it would happen again, and then I would have cut it. And that's 2 weeks going without jumping.
Yep.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, I think that's a big reason you're inconsistent. But, like, it's like you have that tool in your belt now. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get way more consistent.
I think so, too. I think the low rim
that stuff helps with the lifting, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's essentially the same thing with, like, squatting and that type of thing. But... yeah, I think
that's funny. That's a funny question because now I do agree with that sometimes. I'm like, I'm so good sometimes, and I'm just like so ass sometimes. I don't.
All right, I think that's a pretty good place to cut it. Let me see.
So, is there any random funny ones in there?
Let me see if some more came in, bro. It's about to hit 6,000 views. That's actually crazy.
Tell him to give me his vert. Damn.
All right, yeah, I think we covered a good amount here. All right, cool.
All right. Merry Christmas.
So if you enjoyed that and you're on YouTube, like the video. And then if you're on any of the podcast platforms, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're not on THP, but we have helped you increase your vertical, that's the least you can do for us. Helps us get the podcast out there, the YouTube videos out there. And then finally, if you do want to train with us, have us coach you to jump higher, you get a private group chat with me, Austin, John, an entire jump training course on the science behind plyometrics, periodization, strength training. And then you're gonna join a really cool community and increase your vertical. There's also a guarantee, gain at least 3 inches in 6 months, or we'll coach you for free until you do.
Just give them a discount.
Oh, and if you use the discount THP at checkout, you'll also get 10% off your first month. So
try it out.
If you wanna be a part of that, go to thpstrength.com. And join the team. And yeah, I will catch you guys.
We're going to go out to eat at least twice this month. There's your THP subscription. Jump higher. You get, 6 workouts a week?
Yep.
Yeah, 6 workouts a week. 6 workouts a week, $99 a month.
Yeah.
Tell your girlfriend you're eating home tonight. It's okay.
And we are increasing prices again soon. So this is your chance to get in early. Next video is going to be Monday. Back on the grind. Peace out, everybody.